The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show 713-780-3776. And I promise you we'll get some phone calls soon. But hour number two, if you missed hour number one, all available on our website or on podcastarena.com. Full shows, all segments on there now. And you can also listen to us on TuneIn Radio, on the ESPN Radio app, and on ESPN975.com. And I want to thank the Whitmires guys for bringing us that special batch. That is good stuff. I'm going to have to get a bottle of that when it comes out. And I'm going to try the gin next. Then I have to stop because I have to drive at some point because, you know, yeah, that's how it goes. All right, this is where we go through all the NFL games against the spread. So let's do that. We start off with a Willie B double-digit division dog. Lions plus 10.5 at the Packers. I think the double-digit division dog is due to come in, but, boy, I could not. Actually, you know what? I could take the Lions plus 10.5. The way the Packers have looked the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say, it's not like the Packers have been on fire, but I understand the difficulty for sure. But
And there's a reason they're double digits, because the Lions have been awful. But you know what? I'll take the Lions, and I'll make that one of my plays, plus 10.5. I'll take the double-digit division dog.
You're going to make it one of your plays just like that? You were about to poo-poo it, now you're playing.
Yeah, because I didn't actually do my NFL ones, and since we do three each week, I've done my college ones, but I there's some other games I like better, so I reserve the right to throw that one out.
All right. Yeah, I'd be on Detroit as well.
Cowboys, Buccaneers, now a pick 'em.
No thanks.
Yeah, I'm not touching either side. I guess if you stuck a gun to my head, I'd take the Bucks, but
I would too.
No interest there. All right, Panthers at the Titans. Titans down to 4.5. I still like the Titans to cover here. I think this is a field goal game.
Yeah, I do too. I've got the Titans at 5. I like the Titans a lot. That's one of my plays this week. Tennessee.
Outside of a field goal, I like the Titans.
Outside of a field goal, Tennessee plus 5. I think that Carolina's, you know, I say this, you know, I think their record is better than their team is. And Cam Newton, like, when you look at where he ranks amongst quarterbacks, he's like 26th in the league or something. Eventually he's going to catch him. And Tennessee looks better with Mariota.
They do, although I would caution they look better against the Saints defense.
Yeah.
And that Saints defense has been awful. Everyone has put up numbers on them.
And the Panthers' pass defense is legit.
Yeah, well, their linebackers are fantastic, so it's going to be different for Mariota. It's like everybody who's kind of getting on the Titans, they went in and beat the Saints. Well, the Saints' defense is crap. And Mariota looked fantastic, but as bad as the Titans looked against the Texans, I knew they weren't that bad. As good as they looked against the Saints, I know they're not that good. But I'll take 4.5 at home. I'm with you on that. Bears plus 6.5 at the Rams.
I'd take the Bears here, I think.
I think I would, too.
I think the Rams are a little bit better defensively, and they're going to – I think it'll be a pretty low-scoring game. But I think the 6.5 is – that's a lot bigger number than I want to give with the Rams.
Well, if really –
we're inconsistent at best.
Right. If really good Rams shows up, they cover that easy.
Right.
But how often does that happen? 3 times this year? Yeah, I'm with you. I would go on the Bears as well. All right. Saints plus 1 at the Redskins.
Take the Redskins. I just think the Saints right now I think we saw 2 good weeks of them, and everybody's like, oh, maybe they're back. I just don't think they're a good team.
I know
they're horrible defense.
I know they can score. They have a terrible defense. Forget the side. How about over 50.5?
That's probably good.
Play number two for me.
All right.
Dolphins plus six at Eagle. I think we've talked about this all week. I like the Dolphins plus
six. Love the Dolphins plus six.
Is that one of your plays?
No, not one of my plays.
Well, then I'll take that as my third.
Could be.
I'll take that as my third if that's okay, because I love that game. All right, Browns plus 5.5 at the Steelers. I stay away from this game. If Roethlisberger were to somehow limp out there and play, I would take the Steelers, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Landry Jones. And I would take the 5.5 with the Browns if that's the case.
I'd take 5.5 too. Although I'm not interested in betting money.
No,
on,
I would not
on
bet that
Landry
game.
Jones or John Football.
Yeah.
By the way, freaking Colorado's outside the number right now.
It's early. You'll be fine. Just relax. It's all good. You've got alcohol. Jaguars plus 5 at Ravens.
Not really interested in a side. If I were, I'd probably lean Jacksonville. I do like over 47.5. I think you got a couple bad defenses.
I'm with you.
But no play for me on the sides.
I would just say on this game, if you're playing teasers, I would tease the Ravens down.
Okay.
Because I think the Ravens win the game, but I'm not crazy about them covering 5 points.
Well, hell, I mean, I don't think the Ravens are going to win by double digits either.
No, I mean, I think you could go either way in this game, but I would feel better about the Ravens teased out. All right, Vikings plus 3 at the Raiders. The Vikings are not visually impressive, but if you just kind of look at them across the board, they do all the little things you need to do to win games. They play very well on special teams. They play very good defense. They force turnovers. They come up with big plays. I like the Raiders, but, boy, you're giving me 3 points. I think I'll take the Vikings here.
I'll be on the Raiders. I've liked that Raiders team all year.
You've ridden that horse all year, even when it's bucked you off. But
yeah, they just – I watch that team, and they look like they're figuring things out. Man.
Offensively, really yes. Defensively, no. Defensively, they're still a mess. And I mean,
I don't know about a mess.
They've got some good players, but they gave up 500 yards last week, including a bunch to Landry Jones. That team is very good offensively. Derek Carr is developing into a solid quarterback. Amari Cooper is a badass.
Michael Crabtree's playing well.
Defensively, though, they can be taken advantage of. I would be cautious with the Vikings. I wouldn't play this until I knew Bridgewater was playing. Although I like Sean Hill as a backup. I think that guy's very underrated. Here's another one that I really like. Chiefs plus 5 at the Broncos. Chiefs are not your typical 3-5 team, and the Broncos are not your typical 7-1 team. And you're giving me 5 points.
I see 5.5. I'm with you on that.
Either way, I'm on Chief there.
I'm with you.
Patriots minus 7.5 at the Giants. I'm not in the habit of betting against the Patriots. I won't bet this game, but I would take the Giants to cover if you made me.
That's my second play. Giants plus 7.5. That's a team that always plays the Patriots well, and. Yeah. More than a touchdown. I mean, listen, the Giants aren't great, but they're going to be able to take advantage.
They can score some points.
Yeah, they're going to take advantage of the one flaw the Patriots seem to have, and that's pass defense. It's going to be a high-scoring game. At 54 may not last long.
I like the over 54 in that.
But I'll take the Giants to cover that.
I think the Giants have been over 4 of their last 5 games.
Something like that.
Yeah, so.
Pretty consistent.
Cardinals plus 3 at the Seahawks. I think the Cardinals might be the best team in the NFC. If I'm getting 3 points, as much as I like the Seahawks, I'll take the Cardinals here.
It's a no play for me. I'm with you. I think the Cardinals may be the best team in the NFC. But I think it's a foolish habit to get into betting against Seattle in Seattle. I know they lost a game there earlier, but
it's actually worked out pretty well this year. But in general, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it's a bad.
I'm not ready to say the Seahawks just are junk yet.
I don't think they're done. But to me, these are two even teams, and I'm getting 3 points. So give me the team that is getting 3 points.
That's fair.
If it were three the other way, I would take the Seahawks.
And I think they are two even teams, and I think the 3 points is for the home field advantage, and that's what you're seeing in the line.
All right, and finally, Monday night, your Houston Texans plus 11 against the Bengals.
That's my third play, Texans plus 11.
Wow, you're playing the Texans?
I'm playing the Texans. 11 points is just a lot.
It is.
I think Cincinnati's good, and I think the Texans suck. But Cincinnati's not good enough that they should be giving 11 points.
No, and especially coming off a bye, the Texans should be better. All right, so to recap, here are my three plays. I'll take Lions plus 10.5. That's the one I like the least, but I still feel pretty good about a double-digit division dog there. I will take Saints-Redskins over 50.5, and I will take Dolphins plus 6 at Eagle.
And I've got Tennessee plus 5, Giants plus 7.5, Texans plus 11. And if you're keeping track, that's me fading all three undefeated teams.
Yeah, I like that. I'm telling you, I like all your – I think we're kind of on the same page on everything
on
this
most
week.
Things, yeah.
Jong?
Fred, you took two of mine, but
oh well, no, I've got other ones I can.
Oh no,
take.
No, it's okay. It's
no,
okay.
You give me yours because I've got a couple that I'm all over that.
Oh
I'm...
no, it's okay. I'll take Green.
No, tell me what you were going to take. Go ahead, please. You should get first call on this.
No, it's okay. Nah. I'll take Green Bay minus 10.5.
I've got seven plays, Jong. I can. I will drop a couple. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll take Saints and Redskins over 50.
Okay, so I'll replace Saints and Redskins over 50 with Patriots Giants over 54. See, that's how confident I am this week.
And I'll just take Cowboys plus, what is it, plus one?
They're pick 'em.
Pick 'em. I'll take the Cowboys.
Okay, that's two. What's your other one?
Oh, Green Bay minus 10.5.
Oh, so you're oppo me.
Yes, oh. Green Bay, different team, hot home,
they are
away.
They are a different team at home, and they're a better team than the Lions, who could very easily have just folded their tents now. But to me, the Lions should be 13.5, 14.5, considering how they just got their ass kicked last week.
Yeah.
The fact that it's 10.5, that makes me feel pretty good about the other side. But that's cool. Have a little.
Would you get Pats Giants over 54?
54, yeah. So that replaces my Saints. See, like I said, I got about seven plays I love. I'm more than willing to throw one out. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, well, we're going to do our college picks at 6 o'clock. If that's okay.
Okay.
Because I don't
John,
want...
did you take that pick in year three?
Which one?
The one that we talked about before the show? Is that one of your three, the college one?
It could be. I mean, I'll leave it up to you.
All right. You can have it. I'll figure something else out.
Okay.
All right. We'll get to your phone calls when we come back. 713-780-ESPN, and I want to respond to something that Patrick has on Twitter. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And don't know if you're following the news, but apparently French police have confirmed two suicide attacks and one bombing near the Paris Stadium where there's already 18 dead. So it sounds like it's going to get a lot worse. And we'll keep an eye on that. There's some bleeped up people in the world, man.
People are crazy, man.
There are.
What are you going to do?
And you know what? And I always talk about how 95% of our listeners are great, 5% are dickweeds. It only takes 1%.
It says at least 40 people killed now.
Oh, jeez. It only takes 1%. To decide they want to kill themselves and take people out, and they're going to hurt a lot of people. And I just hate that because, it's – anyway, we'll wait for more details.
But. It says at least 40 people have been killed in multiple shootings in the French capital, Paris, and explosions near the Stade de France, which is the soccer stadium.
Yeah.
French media say at least 15 people have been killed near the Bataclan Art Center, where up to 60 people are reportedly being held hostage. Some spectators fled the venue after police stormed it. Reports suggested gunmen shot many there. The president has declared a state of emergency and ordered all France's borders closed. Paris authorities have asked people to stay indoors. There were three explosions reported outside a bar near the stadium, and France was hosting Germany in a friendly, and the match continued. It has now ended. But pretty crazy stuff, man.
Mm. Yeah, that's awful. Anyway, let's... Let's grab a couple phone calls. Let's try Nick. What's up, Nick? What's going on, Nick?
Sports, Nick.
Nick is obviously in a tunnel.
Yeah, Nick, what is going on?
All right, Nick, all right. You there, buddy?
Let's try maybe Matt.
Oh, there. Oh, he just came back right when you keyboard candidate.
First time calling in. But, I'm the big winning idiot for today.
Okay, what's going on?
My question is, how often do you guys think teams overestimate or underestimate their injury report to mess with whomever their opponent is? I'll
every
hang
week.
Up and listen. Okay.
100% of the time they do it whenever they can get away with it.
Yeah, I think they're, questionable often means they're playing. Doubtful almost always means they're not playing.
Right.
I mean, it's
right. But then that way they can, if somebody shows up and plays when they're doubtful, you can say, well, he got better.
Yeah.
I think they do it every week. The NFL tries to really keep an eye on it, but they can't. Let's try Chris. Go, Chris. Let's talk about your Titans. Christopher?
John, what's going on with this delay? We got to fix this thing. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. Chris, are you there?
No, Chris isn't there.
That's not the delay.
Maybe Matt.
All right, maybe Matt will be there.
It's a pain in the ass. Yeah,
I know it is. We'll get it fixed. It's not a big deal. But let's. I'm sure Matt will be there, and I'm sure Matt will be willing to talk to us. What's up, Matt?
Sports,
Matt.
See, I told you Matt would be there.
Yeah.
Hey, I need some help. You guys are more gamblers than I am. This odds that they got a Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, is Vegas really thinking that it's that big of the odds, or is this just their way of getting people like me to say $100 ain't that much to me? I'll put it on Holly Holm just to see what happens.
I am going to do you a friendly service and tell you don't waste your money. That number is about accurate.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's crazy,
but and they want you to put your $100 on it.
Of course they do, and that's what they want.
Because they've got to fade all the people who are betting $10,000 on Ronda Rousey,
right? And it makes sense that the number. I mean that's what it is, because they want the number to be big enough that you go, you know what, yeah, it might be worth throwing a couple bucks down on. But the reality is, if you're betting plus $1,000. You're saying that Holly Holm wins 1 out of 10 times?
Right.
And I don't think she does.
No. And that's,
I really
no,
don't.
I mean, and I like her. Don't get me wrong. I know she's got a big following here, but she's going up against an absolute machine. And no, don't do it.
And what
do we always say? And RJ always says this too. What's the best weapon you have as a gambler?
Is the ability to pass.
So you don't have to bet it just because it's a high-profile fight.
And what RJ often says also is, the best bets are the ones that are the toughest to play.
Yeah.
But that's for football. In prize fighting, there's a reason why those numbers are as lopsided as they are.
It is a different animal. And
when there's a point spread, that's an equalizer.
And I think I've pretty much been on record that I only bet fights, not so much with MMA, but with boxing, I only bet fights where I'm on the dog.
I typically do as well.
And that's if I think the dog has a chance. And if I'm getting 2-1, I only need to be right 1 out of 3 times to break even, and if I'm right twice, I win. So
I almost never bet favorites that are bigger than -200, and that happens a lot.
Yeah, to me, I'm already giving up enough in the bet to begin with, unless it's an absolute lock, and even then. Now, what I might do is tie Ronda Rousey to a parlay.
Yeah.
Because that's a free square, right?
Yeah, but you're not, I mean,
you're still not getting
at -2,000, you're not really getting any comeback, no. Even in a parlay. Jędrzejczyk is an even bigger favorite, the strawweight champion, and she's fighting Valerie Letourneau, who's a pretty good fighter, Canadian chick.
Oh, geez.
But I think literally she probably has less of a chance than Holly Holm, if you can believe it. Like, this is almost like every one of their fights, and both these girls, Jędrzejczyk hasn't been doing it for as long, but both these girls have been just so dominant over the other girls in their division that these fights are more of an exhibition of their skills than anything else at this point. And that's kind of where women's MMA is a little bit behind. Like,
yeah.
There's some fighters that are really good, but there's just not enough people that they can throw up and give them a legitimate match. Like, they have these two champions that are both really great, and everybody they throw up against them just gets destroyed. And that's a problem, because that's... And luckily, Holly Holm is like a crossover star now, to the point where people who don't even care about MMA will watch her fights. But that if that's a dude fighter where guys aren't even giving him a fight,
yeah,
it gets old in a hurry. I mean, it's very much like Mike Tyson in his day, and Mike Tyson wasn't as big of a pay-per-view draw as he should have been because he was so fun to watch. But nobody wanted to pay $60 and then sit down and have the fight end in 20 seconds.
For some reason, though, I would say Ronda's kind of gotten past that. People will pay for it.
Oh, yeah. They'll pay for it.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how much longer that's going to last.
I don't
she
either.
She is running out of people to fight. She needs to get Buster Douglas by somebody.
the UFC does not want that to happen.
They don't want it to happen, but it would actually, in the long run, I think it'd be the best thing.
I think after this, she's going to go out and she's going to embarrass Holly Holm. And then I think the UFC is almost going to be to the point where they have to bring Cyborg in to fight her.
Otherwise, it's what, Misha Tate for a third time?
No, Misha Tate for a fourth time.
Excuse me, yeah.
And nobody needs to see that.
No. All right, RJ Bell next. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. My favorite segment of the week. Founder of pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And RJ, I'm hoping we can grab a beer next week because we'll be out there for the Canelo fight. RJ Bell joins us. What's going on, sir?
You know, unless maybe I'm not sharp to mention this, but I think I owe you guys dinner.
No, I owe you a dinner.
Oh, is
you
that right? Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I was brilliant. I was reversing that one.
You owe Fred, or Fred owes you dinner. You owe me, I don't know what it was. You owe me something.
Yeah, let's all worry
prostitute.
About that.
We'll figure it out.
I forgot about it. We'll so I guess you don't owe me anything. I know I won something against you, but I forgot what it is, so it doesn't count.
Listen, that's a great victory beating me, so just leave it at that.
I feel good about that. I'll take that to my grave.
Well, we'll figure it out next week. So, the first thing I want to ask you about before we get to the NFL is, I love how Vegas does their rankings for college football. I think the strangest discrepancy to me is Notre Dame, which is ranked in the actual rankings with the committee, but with Vegas, they're eighth. How do you explain that?
Well, I mean, I think, first off, let's give the committee a little bit of a break here because the criteria for each of the lists are different. So what we do is at the site, we have professional bettor David Malinsky, a guy who worked with Billy Walters for many, many years, one of the best, if not best, public handicappers. We've got Bruce Marshall, who is senior editor at the Gold Sheet, very respected as a handicapper. And then we've got Cantor Gaming. They're known as CG Technologies now, on the bookmaker side. So those three vote. We got better handicapper, bookmaker. And the goal of the Vegas rankings that I put out on my Twitter every Tuesday from those voters is who's the best team? Who would be favored over whom in any given matchup? Well, what's the committee trying to do? They're trying to say who has had the most accomplished season. And though there's a real correlation between that, it's something that's not exactly the same. That said, looking at the Vegas list, Notre Dame is just overrated in the eyes of Vegas. The committee says number four. Vegas says number eight. And here's the teams that are ranked ahead of Notre Dame by Vegas, but not by the committee. Oklahoma State would be favored over the Irish. Stanford, Oklahoma, and Baylor. Baylor is the biggest snub. Vegas got them four. Committee only has them six. Let's look at the two teams standing between Baylor and the top four. Baylor would be favored by about a field goal over Notre Dame. And number five, Iowa, Baylor would be favored by 6.5 over Iowa. So not even close. Iowa's the most overrated team from the Vegas perspective.
I agree.
Yeah, we all agree.
Vegas says only 13. Committee said number five. Most underrated, Oklahoma. Committee said 12. Vegas said five. Last point, number 12 by the committee, Oklahoma, versus number five, Iowa. Oklahoma would be favored by 6 points over Iowa. So think about that. 7 spots lower in the rankings, but would be a 6-point favorite.
I'm just saying, remember last week we talked about TCU, and I laughed at TCU's ranking, and you said, oh, Vegas loves TCU, and now sure enough, they're done. Is
you
Vegas
still have them 9, though.
Yeah.
And LSU would eat their soul. I mean, LSU's one spot behind them.
And I think the same goes for Baylor. I think Baylor is about to run into a very rude awakening this week.
And I think Oklahoma's an interesting team, you know, in that – you know, they're five. I mean, right now what the Vegas rankings are saying is Baylor and Oklahoma's a coin flip. You know, Baylor just a little bit better. And if you look at the odds in the game, is, you know, Baylor's three at home, right? So my sense is that when, you know, last week a lot of people were surprised, like, oh, wait a minute, Alabama can't be better than LSU. It's like, well, look at the odds. You know, Alabama was 7 at that point on Friday at home over LSU. Home field maybe 3 or 4 or so for Alabama, a little more than normal. But still, it was clear Alabama was considered to be the better team. So it doesn't mean – listen, just because you're favored doesn't mean you win the game. And just because TCU lost last week doesn't mean that they're not a good team. Now, I know you guys don't think so, but Vegas, even after the loss, has them just behind Notre Dame, meaning it'd be pretty much a pick'em game between those two.
Well, both of us unloaded on Oklahoma State last week, and we're both on OU against Baylor this week, so for whatever that's worth. But
for you guys, it might be worth a lot.
It was last week, not going to lie, especially when they went over on the interception at the end.
That saved me.
That was that was the big double whammy there. All right, let's get to the NFL. I am on the Lions getting, you know, as a double-digit division dog this week. Please tell me why I should not make that bet.
Well, this is a great debate of trends. You want to have significant sample size. So if I tell you, oh, I got a great trend, is Team A is 2-0 against Team B, you're going to be like, ah, you can flip two heads 25% of the time in a row, so I'm not sure what it's telling me. So the balance is always you want a bigger sample size, but you want the pertinence to be high. You don't want it to be something where it's like, oh, you know, 20 years ago it was X or Y. Well, here we've got what we call an institutional trend where it goes back to 1991, but it's the same Lions as an institution, as an organization, traveling to the same state, playing the same institution, the Packers. And as many have heard, the Lions 0-24 the last 24 times they went to Green Bay. Last time they won there was 1991. Now, you might say, yeah, but they were a road team. They probably were getting the points. Yeah, 4-18 with two pushes against the spread. So Lions just have not performed well. And my sense is it's something the team's aware of. It's something the team is affected by. So I think it's a meaningful trend. Here's another one that speaks to the Lions as an institution. Double-digit dogs this week. We talked about they lost 24 in a row at Green Bay. They've lost 25 in a row straight up as double-digit underdogs. Now, you might say, yeah, you're supposed to lose more than you win as a double-digit dog. For sure. You're not supposed to lose every time. So this is a team, again, as an institution, I don't think the Lions have fought and clawed on the road. I don't think they fought and clawed, no pun intended, as bigger underdogs. So as much as I don't want to lay double digits, I'm not really anxious to put my money on that history.
RJ, one of my favorite bets this week. I'm going against all three undefeated teams against the spread, but I think my favorite one is the Giants. The Giants have had such a good history lately against these Patriots. They can exploit the one conceivable weakness the Patriots might have in that pass defense. Am I crazy for liking the Giants this week?
Hey, listen, my first thought is always going to be take a home dog getting 7. I would be careful with the success. I mean, really, if you think about it, this is the 8-year anniversary of that game in 2007 when the Patriots were 15-0 and it was the last game and Giants didn't have anything to play for, but they played hard. It was a tight game, and a lot of people say that was the driver of them being competitive in that Super Bowl and ultimately winning and stopping the Patriots from having the undefeated season. But that was 8 years ago. So really, in the interim period, they've played twice, right? Once in the Super Bowl and one time in New England. So to me, I think that you could say, well, Coughlin's probably not going to be intimidated and Eli's not going to be intimidated. But otherwise, I'm not sure how much applicability to have the two games in 7, you know, in a half years or whatever you want to call it. And also, this is a stat I uncovered this week that just blew my mind. And I think you guys can appreciate, you know, understanding betting as well as you do, is the Patriots laying 5 or more on the road. And that's a classic trap. It's like, okay, yeah, obviously they're a better team, but oftentimes the road is a flat spot. Oftentimes the home team's really psyched up. Patriots laying 5 or more on the road last 33 times, 32-1 straight up. I mean, it's almost hard. I mean, imagine that. You only lose one time on the road as a favorite. I mean, to me, it just blows my mind, 32-1. So this is a team with Brady and Belichick that doesn't seem to have flat spots. And thus, I bet against them last week with Washington.
I did too.
Yeah, At some point, I think you just kind of say the metrics don't account for what Brady and Belichick are doing.
All right, RJ. Boy, this segment goes by too fast every week. So we'll be out there for the Canelo fight. Hopefully we can get you that dinner that I owe you.
And we'll say, you know, for what I owe, you know, I'll cover maybe dessert.
That works for me.
Fair enough. I would say
I'm fairly sure it was alcohol related, but yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, but the way we drink that
yeah.
Would,
yeah, yeah. I don't think I have the bankroll for that.
Well, we'll be in touch, man. Look forward to talking to you next week, and hopefully we'll see you out there, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, a little earlier in the show, if you were listening, you heard that Travis and Chris Whitmire came in here and they brought us some great alcohol and some of the things you can only get out at the distillery, like the Sassafras Gin and the Texas Whiskey, which AJ has a bottle of. And there's a lot of stuff that you can get all over town. They've grown so fast. But, man, go check out the distillery. Tours every Saturday, 2 and 4 o'clock. And you get a chance to see how they make everything. But you can also buy bottles out there and take them home with you, which is pretty damn cool. You want to book a tour, go to Whitmire's.com and go right on there. Book the 2 o'clock tour, book the 4 o'clock tour. Go check out. You get to taste all the great whiskey that they have there, the Space City Vodka, the Sassafras Gin. And coming soon, they're going to have that special batch number 2, which is just incredible. And they make fantastic alcohol. And I've been talking about these guys for a while, and I've always said, when it comes to alcohol, I'm not going to ever lie to you about something that's really good. They brought in some of this stuff today, and everybody around the office was saying the same thing. Oh, my goodness, this is the best whiskey I've ever had. Best vodka. They just make great, great products. They're great people. They're veterans. It's completely veteran-owned and operated. Go check them out. Not too far from Sam Houston Race Park. Just go to Whitmire's.com. Book your tour now. If you want to have a holiday party, that's the place to do it. And I'm telling you, these guys, they make great products. They're great people. You're going to love it when you try it. Go check them out. Whitmire's.com. That's Whitmire's Distilling, Houston, Texas.
You're listening to The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. All right. If you haven't had a chance yet, download An Introduction to Sports Betting Blitz Style by AJ Hoffman with help from Fred Fowler. Fantastic. It's on podcastarena.com. Go check it out. People love it. It is basically all the gambling stuff you've heard us talk about put in one place with a lot of stuff that you don't hear on the air, and it's only $12.99. It's thousands of dollars worth of information. Also, just to let you know, here's where we're going to be over the next 4 days. Tomorrow, AJ will be at Luke's from 6 to 8, watching the UH Memphis game, mm-hmm. I guess.
Right? I don't know what the plan is. I know LSU Arkansas at 7 is like one of the big games.
Yeah, Memphis UH at 6. Okay. We'll just go with that. I'll be at the Porch Swing on Sunday from 12 to 2. I guess we'll be watching Cowboys. Seems to be what we'll be doing. Yeah. Two Belows Monday night. We'll be there 4 to 7. And then you have Texans Bengals. And then Tuesday, we're at Pub Fiction in Midtown. So the Blitz World Tour starts tomorrow.
All right.
And then I need to tell you that this year's Blitz shirt commemorates the pepper spray incident and is on sale right now.
It's in my mouth.
Available in black or navy and in sizes for all types. Although apparently we don't have it in like triple XL. I've heard a few people complain about that. So all types unless you're just like really, really, really big. You can find it at the UT Co-op store in Uptown Park. Or for stress-free shopping, log on to universitycoop.com, get yours now, and get your Blitz on. All right. Should I go through the programming that you have for this weekend, John, or do you want to do that? Because you've got a lot of good stuff here.
We could do that at the end of the show, or you can do Gym of the Day.
Let's do it now. We'll get to Gym of the Day. I mean,
is Colorado's going to cover.
we'll do Gym of the Day.
It's the Gym of the Day.
The Bannock Jeweler Gem of the Day.
How many units did you put on that?
It's day one, Jong. I'm not going crazy.
You sure?
I'm not going crazy.
Okay.
It was one of my favorite. I put in 10 plays. It's one of my favorites, but nothing crazy.
See, I got to be real careful because I windfalled into some money this week that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
I got to make sure that I don't just lose it all gambling this weekend.
No, don't do that.
I'm saving it for Vegas. All right. John, you're a big boy band fan, aren't you?
He is.
Back in the day, yeah.
Okay. Red Eye did the top 10 boy bands of all time. So I want your...
Well, I already saw this, though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Do you agree with it?
No, just simply because the biggest star, the biggest pop star we have today, male, comes from one of the boy bands, and I thought that at the height of their popularity, they were more popular than one.
Well, let's give the people the ratings, and then you tell me what you think.
Okay, hold. First of all, you thought NSYNC should be number one, John?
Yes.
Come on, bro.
All right. Well,
you didn't. You don't know. You don't. You're not old enough.
Well, who should they count?
Well, first of all, it depends on what they're. Are they counting the Beatles as a boy band?
No.
Okay. The biggest. Are they counting the Jackson 5 as a boy band?
Yes, and that should be number one in my opinion. If they're going to be,
if Jackson 5 is counted, that's number one.
Right. I agree.
But that said, the Jackson 5 sure. aren't a boy band.
Yeah, I'm
think.
Not sure. I think they're like a kid band.
They're not about being.
Which is probably why Michael Jackson liked little boys.
The point of the Jackson 5 wasn't for them to be a bunch of handsome dudes.
Oh, and which is another reason why I put NSYNC number one, and I didn't think Jackson 5 was a boy band. And I also didn't think Boyz II Men was a boy band either.
See, that they would be number two if you counted them as a boy band.
Yes.
I don't.
Okay, Boyz II Men, also not a boy band. That's an R&B group.
So we're eliminating Boyz II Men. We're eliminating Jackson 5?
Yes.
Okay. Then here's your rankings.
Is this on albums sold or is this?
No, this is on the best ones that hold up over time. Blah blah blah.
Oh, okay. Because the biggest at the time, and I've lived through all the boy bands. The New Kids on the Block were bigger than NSYNC, bigger than the Backstreet Boys. They were big. Like
they are not number one.
There were dudes who admitted to liking them. Like when NSYNC and Backstreet Boys came out. Dudes couldn't admit that they liked those groups. When New Kids on the Block were out, there were dudes who were like singing along, like got into those guys.
All right, here's your top 10. You can do with it what you want. Number 10 is 5 Seconds of Summer.
Are they okay? They're out now. I don't know if they're a boy band either. They play instruments.
Number 9, 98 Degrees.
Okay, that's a boy band.
Number 8, the Jonas Brothers.
Also a boy band.
Number 7, New Kids on the Block.
Ooh, that's low.
Seems low to me.
That's low.
Okay, number 6, we're going to agree that Boyz II Men is not a boy band, but that's who they have 6. If they were going to be on this list, they should be 2. Number 5, One Direction.
Okay.
Number 4, Hanson.
Yeah, that's again, they played instruments. I don't know.
But they were a boy band. Hanson was a boy band.
They're like a kid band. One
M-bop.
Of them was like a little kid. It's M-bop, first of all, not M-bop.
Whatever. They're a boy band, and they should be 10th or
11th. Yeah, I think they're a boy band.
Okay.
Jackson 5, they have 3rd. We agree. Not so much. Although there's young men in there, but they're also children, so that's a little awkward. Number 2, NSYNC.
Okay. I already know who number 1
number
is.
Number 1 is the Backstreet Boys.
It has to be.
I would have flipped 1 and 2.
Okay. I think the New Kids on the Block, that's a slap in the face.
I think they put Backstreet Boys number 1 just because they're still around. They're still touring and stuff, which I don't get men in their like 40s and 50s doing that kind of music, but
well, the Backstreet Boys they sold so many records. I mean, you're talking and I know it's a different era, but like they had an album that sold 30 plus million copies. Like, Taylor Swift's highest-selling album is, like, 15 million. Like, that, just to put it into perspective.
Okay, I have a question, though. There's a notable omission here.
Okay.
Menudo.
Menudo was never that good. I mean, they're not in that conversation.
But they went through, like, 10 different guys, and they kept selling a bunch of albums.
They sold, I mean, listen, first of all, there's been, like, 35 people in Menudo.
So?
I mean, you if you're a boy band.
For one thing, no, if you're a boy band, you just want.
You can't just rotate in new boys.
Sure you can. That's what you do.
It's eventually a
different
band.
That's what Michael Jackson did.
None of the guys that are in Menudo now were in Menudo 30 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No,
it's one band.
These are all plug and play guys. I mean, they're cute faces that little girls are supposed to scream at.
What about, Jung, were you into All for One?
No.
And I swear by the moon and the stars. Yeah,
I think that came before I started listening to that kind of music.
Okay. What about New Edition? Do they count as a boy band?
I honestly don't know anything about any of these guys. I was just giving the list up because I knew
you guys did. Oh, you're too cool.
No, I don't listen to that stuff. Right. I never have. Why would I?
See, I don't know about these guys. Like,
I do listen. I listen to Boys to Men, and I don't consider them a boy band.
Like Jonas Brothers and these like 5 Seconds of Summer and guys, like these are bands that play instruments. I don't know if that counts as a boy band. To me, when I think of a boy band, I think of guys who are just singing pop songs.
And dancing around.
And dancing, yeah. Like, once if you play an instrument, even if you sing crappy music, you're still a band. You're not just a group of guys singing. That, to me, that's what a boy band is a group of guys who just sing and dance.
But that's your definition. This is this person's definition.
That guy's wrong, though.
Well,
I'm telling you the real
definition. But this guy also included Jackson 5 and Boys to Men.
Yeah, he's wrong. Even though that's what those guys, I mean, technically... Well, I guess they played some instruments in the Jackson 5. Boys to Men, I think they were all singers, but that's R&B music. That's different than pop music.
And those guys could actually sing as opposed to some of these other guys. Oh, well, anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. John, you'd be surprised to know. You know how many number one hits NSYNC had?
How many?
One.
Really?
Just one.
Is it this song?
It's Gonna Be Me.
Ah.
That was their only number one hit.
John, did you get...
This isn't NSYNC. This is the Backstreet Boys, isn't it?
No. This is NSYNC.
Oh, okay.
But the fact that you can't tell them apart means we shouldn't even be ranking them.
Well, growing up, I was more of a Backstreet Boys. Like, I thought between the two, I thought that they had the better songs, but just thinking about it now, I thought NSYNC had the catchier songs, and plus I have a little man crush on Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake's a badass.
Oh yeah,
he's past boy band status.
Oh no, no,
he's like we don't think of Mark Wahlberg as Marky Mark from the Funky Bunch anymore. Justin Timberlake was never in NSYNC. It doesn't count.
Yes, and you can argue he's the biggest pop star other than Taylor Swift on the male side in the world. So
yeah, you could argue that for sure.
I'll go with Menudo.
Your Menudo's not good.
All right. Quick break. Another hour to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Just hit me with the truth now. Girl, you're more than welcome.
ESPN 97.5.